WGN Radio's daily conversation about the life of business and the business of life. This is The Opening Bell with Steve Grzanich on 720 WGN.
Good morning again, everyone. Welcome back to The Opening Bell. It's Friday here on the program. One of our regulars, Brian Summer, is off today, but in his place for our aviation and travel conversation is Madhu Unnikrishnan, who's the editor at Skift Airline Weekly, and he was with us via Skype from New York this morning. Madhu, I want to begin first with Hawaiian Airlines CEO Peter Ingram, who you have just interviewed recently, talking a little bit about competition and trade winds coming his way that he's going to be battling with Hawaiian. Talk to us a little bit about what you have learned from him.
Hi, Steve. Thanks for having me. So Ingram's answer was what you'd expect. He said, you know, Hawaiian has been in operation for 90 years and has seen a lot of competition in that time. So he says the airline is well positioned to compete with anyone who adds service to Hawaii. Some of the reasons he thinks Hawaiian's in a better position to compete is that, you know, first of all, it's been in the market a long time. It has an offering that is different from other carriers, and that it is really tailored for the leisure passenger versus the business passenger. So you know, he thinks that the way the service is and the way the cabins are laid out makes it a little bit different, and offers something that the other airlines can't offer. And, it's just an established route structure.
So the question is about the competition that Hawaiian is going to be facing from Southwest Airlines and also from some Japanese carriers.
That's right. So, you know, the big news that everyone's asking Peter Ingram about is what is Hawaiian going to do now that Southwest has started flying from California to Hawaii? And he said, you know, that it's just another airline that's come in and is offering a competition for us, and we're well positioned to do it. The difference with Southwest, though, is that it is starting to fly some inter-island routes. And since the financial crisis when Aloha and Go went bankrupt, Hawaiian has pretty much had the inter-island route network to itself, inter-island market to itself. So that, you know, Ingram said that, well, you know, Hawaiian has a bigger and more established route structure between the Hawaiian Islands, and Southwest right now is very limited. So he was pretty confident. The other big competitor that's coming in is on the other side of the Pacific. ANA, the Japanese airline, is starting to fly Airbus A380s. They are capable of, you know, carrying 500 passengers. So between Japan and Honolulu, and Ingram said once again, you know, this is that's a lot of people, but the market is huge. It's, you know, Honolulu, Japan is the busiest U.S. Japan route. So Honolulu, Tokyo, rather. So he said, you know, it's just another competitor we're willing to we can take it on. What I did ask him about, and this is interesting, is, you know, whether Hawaiian the hotel and airport infrastructure in Hawaii is capable of handling all this increased traffic, not just from Japan, but, you know, Southwest, Alaska, United, American, Hawaiian. They're all adding more flights to Hawaii. So a lot more tourists are going to Hawaii. And are the airports and hotels going to be a choke point? And that has been an area of concern, not just for Hawaiian Airlines, but for the Hawaiian tourism industry as a whole. Ingram said the state needs to update some of its airports. And, you know, the hotel industry is facing not a crisis, but it could be a choke point for airlines.
Yeah. So for consumers who are listening, the flip side of this coin is consumers are probably going to be able to find some deals if they're traveling to Hawaii or around the Hawaiian Islands.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's absolutely true. I mean, there are more flights, more seats, so therefore prices will have to come down. The question, though, and the question from what I'm hearing is whether the hotels on the other side or Airbnbs or whatever consumers use, you know, wherever they stay, will those prices come down? And I don't think they will.
Let's move on to another story. The September 9th issue of the Skift Airline Weekly will focus a little bit on China's airlines. I know this still is in the works, but I want to ask you if there is any indication based on what you're seeing from China's airlines, whether or not they're being impacted at all, either negatively or positively, from the trade war?
Well, there's a very long answer to that, but the short answer is not yet. The passenger demand remains strong in China, particularly to Europe and to other points in Asia. There are a lot of Chinese business travelers and leisure travelers who are still flying. So the trade war has not bitten passenger demand yet. Where it is starting to see, where you're starting to see the effects is in freight traffic. And you got to remember, like, for a lot of Asian, particularly Asian airlines that fly large aircraft between countries in Asia, a lot of the revenue comes from cargo in the belly. So it's not, the aircraft is not just carrying your luggage. It's making a lot of money from cargo. And that's where they're seeing the effect of the trade war. Those holds are not as full as they used to be.
There's another story out there, too, that focuses on Chicago-based Boeing Airlines. Airbus is in there as well. But the president of Emirates, Tim Clark, had some sharp criticism for Boeing and Airbus. What's this story about?
Well, that is interesting. Emirates is a very large airline, buys a lot of aircraft, has a lot of clout with the manufacturers. And essentially, for an airline like Emirates, which doesn't have a domestic market because Dubai is, essentially a city state, it has only two options in purchasing aircraft, Airbus or Boeing. What Clark was saying is that, there have been a lot of, other than the MAX, which, has dominated the news, there have been a lot of engine issues with Airbus and Boeing wide-body aircraft. And he likened it to, if you go down to the lot and buy a Rolls Royce for $250,000, and the dealer says, "Well, we'll take your money, but there's going to be some problems down the road that we know about and we will fix for you, but please you just deal with it." And no consumer would deal with it. That's what Clark said, and that's similar to so Airbus and Boeing are sort of doing that. They're saying, "We'll take your money, we'll sell you an aircraft, but there are engine issues that will not compromise the safety in any way, but will make the aircraft less efficient or not able to fly as frequently. And we know about that, but we'll fix it later." So he's among a small but growing number of very vocal airline CEOs are saying this is just not acceptable.
Yeah, the bottom line being reliability, because I know GE and Rolls-Royce were in on the he was focusing his complaints on them as well. This issue of reliability, a lot of people have this in their minds, not for a number of reasons. The 737 MAX is one of them as well. So this is a big issue.
Yeah, it is. And, once again, let me stress that no one has said either of these engine manufacturers are producing unsafe engines. So safety has not been compromised in any way. It's just reliability. So an aircraft, let's say, flying between Dubai and London might have to take an extra day of service in London, which, impacts passengers. If you're flying, you show up at Heathrow and find your flight has been canceled due to a maintenance delay, well, you're stuck. So it's as Clark said, there's no safety issue, but it is really affecting the way Emirates can conduct its business.
And I'm guessing the bottom line is hurting. Otherwise, he probably wouldn't say any of this. It's costing the company money.
Yeah, it's either costing the company money or it's a reputational thing, right? If you're stranded as a consumer, think of it. If you're stranded in Heathrow because of an aircraft maintenance issue, you don't really know or care if it's GE or Rolls-Royce or Pratt & Whitney that caused that maintenance issue. You're going to blame the airline. So it's a reputational hit.
And finally, this week we saw the last MD-80 go out of service and go to the boneyard, to the graveyard. Do you have any thoughts on the last of the MD-80s to fly?
Well, remember, it's the last of the American Airlines MD-80s. It's an iconic aircraft, especially, it was one of the last in American fleet that were still unpainted in silver. silver birds, as people call them. And, you know, it's been in service a long time. People are very fond of that aircraft. A lot of pilots cut their teeth on it. I know a lot of people in the aviation community were sorry to see it go. But my personal take is time and technology march on. So you wouldn't drive the car. You wouldn't necessarily drive a car you bought in 1980. So airlines are technology moves on. They're better aircraft, more efficient, and more comfortable aircraft out there now.
Rest in peace, MD-80, American MD-80. All right, Madhu, thank you very much for being with us today. We appreciate it.
Oh, no, thanks for having me.
Madhu Unnikrishnan, editor at Skift Airline Weekly. Make sure you check out all of the latest reporting there at airlineweekly.com. You can also find more aviation and travel news over at skift.com as well.